Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. Michelle Goodman is our guest, and Michelle is a freelance writer and an editor since she escaped from the working in the cubicle for major corporations. She's the author of the Anti 9-to-5 Guide, practical career advice for women who think outside the cube. And even though the book is focused on women, guys, we need to know about what she's up to and the women she talks to, because they're part of our world too. Michelle, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you back. I promised the audience that we were going to talk about how men and women negotiate differently, and I promised them that we'd have a little fun with this.
Oh, okay.
All right?
Let's
so
do that.
Now, there's been some recent research, hasn't there?
Yes.
Tell us about it.
Well, a Washington Post article that came out earlier in the month, actually just at the end of July, was sort of all the rage. I'm actually working right now on a big long-term contract at a big corporation, and a lot of people were buzzing about it. The research was showing something we've heard over and over again: men and women negotiate differently. Men are more assertive. Women are more likely in a salary situation to take whatever they're offered. But then the researchers, a couple different studies, went several steps farther and evaluated the perceptions of the people being negotiated with, that is, the people offering the salaries, and they found that they were more likely to penalize or think ill of women who negotiated as opposed to men who negotiated.
So you're saying not only do women seem to have, and I think you and I agree that women are by nature perhaps less likely to negotiate hard for something than a man is, but there actually is some reason to feel that, to behave that way, because they're actually going to be penalized for negotiating hard.
Right. They're going to look like they're not playing nice, or maybe too tough.
Yeah.
You know, taking on a man's characteristics, I guess, it's sort of like you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. But, I mean, to that I say phooey. You've got to negotiate anyway.
Phooey. Now, is that a technical term there, Michelle?
That's a technical term. I know that's so G-rated and pleasant.
yeah, I don't think you said that off the air there, Michelle. But you didn't use that word off the air. But, you know, the truth is, what we're talking about is just speaking up on your own behalf.
Right.
Not necessarily aggressiveness, but holding your own, speaking up for your own behalf. And even though, see, you gave that a male gender attribute when you said that a minute ago. You said acting like a man, being aggressive and acting like a man, is really just speaking up for your own behalf. It's just that men seem to pull that off better,
right,
or at least they're given credit when they do it more than women are. Men are more like, men are given credit for standing up for themselves, where women sometimes are penalized for that. Is that right?
That's right. I mean, and of course we're talking in grand sweeping generalizations,
right,
but this is, you know, these are the prevailing findings. I mean, we can look at even certain female candidates in politics, and that seems to come up a fair amount too. You know, they're not feminine enough. They're too pushy, or they're too aggressive, or they're too driven.
Doesn't Hillary Clinton have that challenge right now? I mean, the other day she said, if that's the kind of person you want, I'm your girl. I never heard her say that before. So she's trying to be feminine, because she is appealing to women.
Right.
She's and the reason I know she's appealing to women, trying to appeal to women, because I heard her say she was. But there's no question that she's going after the female vote. But at the same time, she has to appear tough enough to protect our country, doesn't she?
Oh, yeah.
So that's a real challenge. That's a bigger challenge for women than it is for men, isn't it?
Yeah, and people, you know, go crazy if, you know, she decides to wear a slightly low-cut shirt and it's all anybody can think about in the media for a few days.
Right.
And I don't know. I mean, nobody's really looking at what Dick Cheney's wearing.
that's unfortunate, isn't it? I mean, think about it now. But now that's not whose fault is that? If we put more pressure on women because of with the way they dress than we do on men, whose fault is that, Michelle? Is that men's fault or society's fault or is that woman's fault?
Oh yeah, I mean, you know, we can't blame men. I mean, that's just our whole social conditioning. I mean, things have just been this way forever and ever and ever, and now suddenly we have, you know, women stick over the house and things like this, and it's a bit newer.
How much of the problem that women have in competing in the marketplace, how much of it is societal and maybe even the fault of men, and how much of it is women doing it to themselves? What do you think?
I know. I think it's both. I mean, in these research findings we're talking about from this article that was printed around and around the world, it was women that were, in addition to men, it was women that were, not speaking up for themselves because thinking they'd be penalized salary-wise, and B, viewing other women potential candidates negatively for negotiation. And
so women were being critical of other women when they were doing this.
Yeah. I mean, but actually, I should say, they were also critical of men who were negotiating.
Yeah.
They were critical of anyone who was rocking the boat.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but
what does that tell you? You think?
Well, I think it's unfortunate that people are, you know, see the business and career world as something as, oh, you know, I've got to be liked, and I don't want to appear as asking for too much. And it's kind of like, hello, people, this is your salary, and the salary you agree to now affects your salary for your entire career because every, you know, subsequent raise is based on the starting salary. And they did a little math in this one article we were talking about, and it's, you know, two people start out at a salary a few percentage points apart, and it becomes a difference of $400,000
over the life of their career.
30 years.
Yeah. Hold on to that thought, Michelle. We're going to come right back after these messages and sort this out a little bit more with our good friend Michelle Goodman, the author of The Anti 9 to 5 Guide. It's 20 after. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me. I'll be right back. We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com. That's where you can get the show and sign up for my newsletter, check out our blog, listen to the archives of past shows all the way back to 99, listen to the show I did, the interviews I do today, later in the day. You can hear them replayed, just the interviews. You can podcast them. Lots of good stuff there. And also, don't forget to check out our other website, askjim.biz, the knowledge base, where you can get small business answers now. Michelle Goodman is our guest, folks. She's the author of the Anti 9 to 5 Guide. Excuse me, the Anti 9 to 5 Guide. Michelle, tell us where your book's available, please.
Online and in all major bookstores. So walk into your corner bookstore and you can ask for it.
Do you have your own website?
I do. It's anti9to5guide.com.
Can we find out more about the book there?
Oh, you sure can.
Anti9to5, just like you think it would be spelled, guide.
Yes.
Anti9to5guide.com. Michelle, you just conducted a roundtable exercise for a project we were working on with some folks, and most of them were women, I think, right?
Yeah, it was an article for the Seattle Times, and we brought in 8 women and did an interview sort of Oprah roundtable style on, it was actually the way women relate to each other and get along in the workplace. across generations. So we had women ranging from 25 to 63. But this topic of the way women and men relate to each other in the workplace kept coming up, and it was so interesting what everyone said. They brought up this great point that, you know, in business and at work, men just, they're all, you know, they go about their business, they make a deal, it's done. They, you know, they make a plan mm-hmm. for a project, it's done. With women, it's all about having, feeling like you have a rapport or a building a relationship with another woman. Is that inefficient?
Uh-huh. Is that way of looking at a project inefficient?
Well, it sure takes a little longer. But I mean, what everyone was in agreement on was that it's not a sociological thing. It's just sort of a woman. You know, it's our nature.
It's biological.
I guess so. And
isn't it?
Yeah, to help people, to nurture people, to feel closer
right.
to people. And the topic of mentorship came up, and, you know, people kept saying whenever there was a company-instituted mentorship program, it didn't work very well if you were just to find a mentee or a mentor. But if somebody came in and you formed, you know, sort of a nice bond or, you know, a growing relationship with them, then a mentorship could happen just spontaneously. Mm-hmm. But it's just, you know, it's just an interesting point that difference between the way men and women relate. And, you know, that going back to the whole negotiation thing, women wanting to, you know, appear, I mean, it's crazy to think you would go into a salary negotiation thinking, oh, I hope they like me. I don't want to come across as...
You're going to lose if you go out like that. And see, here's the thing now. Here's what you need to understand. Everybody needs to understand. Men don't go into a negotiating situation thinking, I'm going to make sure they don't like me.
Right.
We're ambivalent about that.
Right.
We're agnostic about whether we don't care whether they like us or not.
Right.
Maybe. You know, it's not that we want people not to like us. It's just that our goal is the negotiation, not to necessarily make a friend.
Right. Right. Exactly. And I mean, if anybody has ever found themselves in this trap, I would say, well, be thinking more about your rent and your mortgage.
Right.
And how much you need to live on than whether or not, you know, this person's going to find you charming. There's plenty of time to charm them once you get the job.
Is part of the problem the words that we use? You know, women use words like nice and sweet and things
yeah.
like that. They use those words a lot, don't they?
Right.
And
yes.
you know, men don't think about things like that so much. And I mean, what I'm getting at is, I mean, I don't know. I'm trying to find the way for women to be women and but still get what they've got coming to them.
Right. Right.
What they deserve.
I think you just have to go for it and negotiate no matter what. And that's not to say being rude or obnoxious or brazen. I mean, it's just matter-of-factly stating you want. And
how do women come across as negotiating for what they want and still feel that they left as the women in my life would say, as a lady? How do they pull that off? How do they pull that off?
I would say, again, just, you know, state your desires matter-of-factly and wait for the response. I mean, nobody needs to know why you need the money you're doing or remodel or...
Just be firm, explain yourself.
Yeah.
And don't get shrill, don't take anything personally.
Right, don't make unnecessary explanations. And I think what's a hard part for people is the waiting. You know, just, well, actually, as we discussed earlier, what I was looking for was something more in this range. And, you know, if you look at my resume, I've done the market research, and this is
right.
the range appropriate for my experience. And then,
right.
and then you just wait, which I think is the very hard part for people to stop talking and, you know, hear.
And that, well, that's that part. Come. That part's tough on men and women.
Yeah.
I think.
I'm sure it is because the money you're making for the next several years hangs in the balance.
Right. or the deal you're trying to put together. It's negotiating is not easy for anybody, but I do think I agree with you. I think women just need to work on this a little bit. And if you have ownership of the Anti-9to-5 Guide by Michelle Goodman, I think it'll make it a little easier on you. Michelle, thanks for being here. Good job today. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, Jim. It was fun to talk to you.
Michelle Goodman, ladies and gentlemen. Quick break. Right back with our good buddy Bill Huss, Judge William Huss, right after these messages.
Aflac for small business.
Yeah, you cover small business?
Yes, we do.
Great, because I'm an amoeba.
An amoeba.
Uh-oh, got us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.